Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
The title of the sermon today is Why God Wakes You Up at 4 a.m. And, you know, I have always been like a nocturnal kind of person, stuff that happens at night. Stuff that happens in the night watch. I love to stay up late, you know. Even when I was a kid, I grew up in a house with six people, you know, and one bathroom. And then my grandma moved in, and then I learned to go to the Quick Trip to find bathroom time. No, I'm serious. I put my makeup on with a little tiny compact mirror, and I still do it. I have five mirrors and three bathrooms. But I still do it like that, because that's how I was trained to do it. But at night, everybody's in bed. And then I can use the bathroom anytime I want. I have sole possession of the remote control. Should I choose that? And you know, it's in my whole life, I just was never really alone. I never lived on my own or independent of another person. So I grew up in that house. And then after that, I went into marriage. You know, first a bad marriage and left that one. And then got saved. And then found a good marriage. So I've just never lived alone my whole life. I always had people around me. And so being alone in proximity is not something I was really ever familiar with, but being alone in my soul, oh, I know all about that. How many know you could be standing in the most crowded room and still feel alone in your soul? And I felt that way, you know, up until I met Jesus. But even since then, there's been times in my life when I have felt utterly and completely alone. Even though I have a family that loves me, even though I have an incredible ministry opportunity. You know, even though I have a close personal Savior with Him, there's still times that we walk through life where we feel that feeling. And so I'll stay up late. I can hear the Lord call, you know. Scott's an early to bed, early to rise, healthy, wealthy, wise. That's not me. I'm junk food. I'm up late. I don't even know how long I'll be on this planet. You got to pray for me. I'm just kidding. I know I'm going to outlive Scott because of all the salad I've eaten my entire life while he was eating cheeseburgers. But here's the thing. I hope you go. I hope you stay after me, babe. You're so much better. But here's the thing. I still try to stay up late because then he's in bed. When he is there, I'm trying to cater to him. I love him. I'm looking at him. I'm trying to make sure his needs are met. But when he's in bed, I don't have to do that. And I can hear the Lord. And I can pull up a sermon and listen to it. I can start to journal some things or dictate some things. And that's a lot of times where the sermons will come from. So let me tell you what nocturnal means real quick. It says, relating to or occurring in the night. In zoology, it's animals that are active or that hunt at night. In botany, it's plants that open blossoms at night. This stuff is beautiful. There's an orchid that only blooms every so many years, only in the moonlight, one time. A nocturnal predator hunts at night. Nocturnal flowers bloom after sunset. Nightly, nighttime, dark, late, you get it. There's something about the quiet of the night where I believe that there's a portal almost open. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but from heaven to earth during that time. And what we do, and this is what happened to me the other day, because usually I'll just stay up if I hear the Lord speaking to me. But if I try to go to bed and match Scott's body clock, you know, early to bed, try to be on his schedule, the Lord wake me up. 3, 4, he didn't care. And I'll pray. I was praying the other night. I was like, Lord, help me sleep. I need sleep. I got a lot to do. And just, I'm laying in my bed, and I can feel the waking up, the stirring. And I heard him say this clear as the day. You're praying for me to help you sleep, and I'm trying to be alone with you. And I was like, here I come. Whoosh, covers off. And I went downstairs, and I said, what do you want to talk about, Lord? And he was like, make some tea. I do it. I mean, the Lord just talks to me and tells me how to get about. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you in the night. When you're there in the nighttime, and many of you responded that, yeah, I wake up during that hour. Try not to think you're just having a restless night. Try to understand that you are the Lord's, that he is calling you. This is one of the ways that he does it. And he has to do it when there's the least amount of distraction. And if you can train your body to get up off of that bed when everybody else is asleep, he will meet you in this sacred, secret place, and he will tell you things that you didn't know. As a matter of fact, that's the first scripture that he took me to. It was Jeremiah 33. It says, come and call on me, and I'll I'll tell you things that you didn't know that were a mystery. Are there any things that you don't know? Are there any questions that you might bring to the Lord? Make a list, people, and start to bring it to him, because he's going to wake you up in the night watch and go before him and go sit. And in the beginning, if you've never done this before, it might seem a little awkward to get out of your bed with your sleepy hair and your pajamas and just shuffle to a room that only you and he are in and just sit and wait. And you might even fall back asleep in the beginning. That's okay too. He'll wake you up again. He'll call you again in the middle of the night, because he has things that he wants to communicate to you uninterrupted. Psalm 139, it says, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. They're different to us. I remember when I was afraid of the night. I remember, and this is one of the biggest fears that people have, is afraid of the dark. Try moving about your house in the dark at night by yourself and see if fear tries to cripple you. What a liar. Fear is such a liar. All you have to do is turn on the light and that fear will stop, because light dispels darkness in that way. But darkness, like it covers the earth, it just brings a protective shadow where you and God can find each other in the watches of the night. He can find you all the time, but you could find him there. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. He was still confined in the court of the guard. And here's the word. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it, the Lord who established it. Just reading the word gives you just a beautiful philosophical image, a powerful image of the Lord who made the very earth that you're sitting on right now and sustains you every day of your life. He says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. And then he goes on to talk about all the sin and all the brokenness of Israel and how messy it was. Does anybody feel like things are messy? And God said, I'm going to clean it. And I'm going to make your name something that's a joy and a delight again to me. When you come and you call on me, and I'll show you things that you didn't know before. It's so good. So here's some of the stuff that God will wake you up for. So I started out with praying in tongues. I'm a spirit filled. I'm one of those radical, you know, spirit filled, tongue talking Christians. And I do follow the Bible. So, you know, Paul says it's better for me to speak three words of intelligent English for you this morning. But when I'm by myself, man, I can let it go. And I'll pray before the Lord in the spirit. And if you've ever been in a place where that's happening, you can feel the power and the energy of it. You should ask the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you. And all this stuff can transpire in the middle of the night. And it will, if you want to, and if you lean in. But one of the things that happens in the middle of the night is the Lord wants to speak to us, yes. He wants us to experience his amazing presence, yes. But it's not just so we can feel good and have a goosebump and go, ooh, Jesus, woo. There's nothing to that. That's like eating ice cream. It's really good. Nothing else. It's not going to help your body. It's not going to help any. It's going to help your soul for a minute, okay? For a minute. And then you're going to need sustenance again, green things and meat. So when you get before the Lord like that, you know, one of the things he was telling me, you know, he goes, you're a watchman. He starts to speak things to me. I just start to make a little journal of things. You're a watchman. What is that? That means you're watching. You're watching for me. You're watching for the enemy. You're watching for your kids. And I started to pray prayers around this church, around my family, around you, around my children and my grandchildren. I started to pray rings of fire. God, just put rings of fire all around them. Let the enemy not be near my family, their thoughts, their mind. God, let your clarity and your purpose come in the name of Jesus. Let it flow. Let it surround us like a shield, God. And in my mind, then I could see, I mean, it's the middle of the night. You know, you're half crazy. I don't have any sleep. You know, I'm sleep deprived. I'm longing for the Lord. I'm drinking a cup of tea here and there. And I see this, like my eyes are open, but I can imagine this. I have an imagination that says, man, I can see myself in my living room. I'm not even standing. I'm sitting, because it's not by my power or might. It doesn't matter how demonstrative I am. It's the word of the Lord coming forward out of my mouth that's making the difference. So I'm sitting in my chair, my favorite chair, my couch, the only one that has any kind of structure that looks like anyone sits there. It's me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just praying these things. And I can see, like, me and my house and this room, and I'm just pulling in my family into it, pulling in my family, I'm speaking their names out loud. Clarity come to your mind in the name of Jesus. Vision restore in the name of Jesus. Grace come. Let no weapon be formed against them, God, in Jesus' name. Praying like that. And then I can see like this cloudy outside exterior and every demonic force trying to come to separate, to destroy. And I can see it. It's black. And this one's inside. Light, life-giving, warm, fire. Because I'm in the middle of the night when God called me to be there. And I'm putting up a shield for the people that I love. And I'm doing warfare. In the middle of the night. Spiritual warfare. When the enemy is also awake. But I'm not afraid. So I can show up in the night because I own it too. Because the Lord owns the night. It's like the day to him. So I show up and I turn on my little light and I start to pray things when God's calling me in the night watch to be alone, to do some work. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Man, he's a schemer and a liar. A destroyer, a manipulator, a divider. And our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers, powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms up here. So take up the full armor of God that you'll be able to resist the evil day. And having done everything then that you can do, stand firm. Because whatever happens, it ain't on you. It's on him. And you stand firm and you speak the word of God and you move yourself in the armor of God and you fight for your family. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the spirit. Verse 19, verse 18. Be alert. Be alert. Don't just lay there and act like you got a restless situation when God's calling you in the night. Get up. Respond. Go to him. Be alert. Make your request for every saint and pray in the behalf that speech may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. The wee hours of the morning, man, they strengthen your spirit. You find a discipline there that you didn't know before. You'll be trained there to see temptation and knock it down. Strength will come in the middle of the night. You got to rise up, intercede, listen, transform. Let the Spirit of God intentionally lead you to the secret, sacred, quiet place. Your mind will get clearer if you do this. You'll set the course for your entire day because you won in the middle of the night. So you set the whole day up for victory. After victory, because you already beat the devil's face in the middle of the night. So when you get up, you're walking in the victory of God. That everything that comes against you falls down now because you already remember the night watch when God met you there. Greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. And I carry that presence tangibly everywhere that I go. And no weapon formed against me or mine will prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, you gonna talk about me? Go ahead. You want a war? Bring it. In the name of Jesus, I will show it to be wrong. By my own life. Greater is he that is in me. God will bring you to a place of repentance in the middle of the night. He'll talk to you about yourself. He'll be like, you know that thing that you really messed that up? And he'll bring a sweetness around you. And he'll remind you of his word. You know, in the book of Psalms, I love the Psalms, man. The Psalms get you through these hard places. It says, I've treasured your word in my heart, God. Not so I could have a treasure in my heart like a cup of ice cream. I treasured your word in my heart so that I wouldn't sin against you, God, so that I could come with a repentant heart. And so you have repentance. You'll be sitting there, you'll come in there, and you'll get your heart aligned in the middle of the night. Why does God wake you up at 4 a.m.? So you can get your heart aligned with him. So you can get your heart aligned with the things of God, with his plans, with his purpose, with his calling, with his ministry on your life. That's why God wakes you up at 4 a.m. Walk through the days lighter. It's a lot lighter to walk about without guilt or shame. Guilt and shame are heavy We always walk around feeling like a failure, living under one who would constantly, all the time, accuse us to each other, to ourselves, and to God. But when you meet with God, and God says, no, justified, sanctified, glorification coming, let's put that behind us because repentance is a cure. And you walk about the day, lighter spirit, lighter step, authority, power. This kind of stuff, you might think it's silly. You might, because we're lazy and we have a flesh. But if we can make our body, you know, you're in charge of your body. I'm in charge of making my voluntary muscle take that cover, swing my feet over the side and get my butt out of that bed and go down and see what the Lord wants to say to me. And when we do that, we start to have a victory in knowing who we spent time with and who is with us. And we have a lighter gait and a stronger arm, I'm just telling you. Why does God wake me up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning? That's the time you go play jokes on people, Lord. That's the time you pray practical jokes on people at that time, Lord, because everyone is asleep. We all know that. He'll clarify your calling in the middle of the night. He'll tell you a new assignment. He'll speak to you about where you're supposed to be. He'll whisper it to you in the quiet hour, because in the quiet hour, the eyes of the Lord seek to and fro across the earth, looking for who has their light on. Who did I call? Listen to this. Psalm 63, Psalm. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watch. So I looked up night watch because the Lord said, you're a watchman. If you get a word like that rolling around your spirit, go investigate what it means. Look in the dictionary. Get an idea of what God is defining you as. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. You know why? Because you've been my help. And in the shadow of your wing, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand takes a hold of me. God is intimate. That is an intimate. You've been my help. In the shadow of your wing, I sing for joy. And my soul clings to you, and your right hand takes hold of me. And when you fulfill purpose, it's one of the greatest things that you're ever going to do in life, because it gives you this knowing that you're walking with God and you're doing what God has purposed for you to do. It heals you. It gives you a strength and a sustenance to keep going, because you know this is what God's called you to. In the middle of the night, 4 a.m., 3, in the shadow of his wing, singing for joy, God will speak to you, and you'll have an assurance in your soul. And this will change not just your life, but seasons and generations to come. The blessing of the Lord is 1,000 generations after you make the first step in the direction of God and his kingdom coming and his will being done. Stuff is good, man. I'll tell you a story. There was a time in my life I was just coming to God, and, you know, I had so many just like strongholds and so many broken places. And I'd had a promiscuous upbringing. I had a, you know, just a real vacuum for a dad. I had a real father vacuum. And I remember just all the places I found myself before coming to the Lord and before repentance, and how horrible it was. And I started having dreams about those encounters. And now it's about to get real in here, so just lean in. And so what happens is, you know, we posture ourselves to like be defensive of why we behave the way we do and why we act the way we do. And it's so easy to judge someone else's life and just, you know, even in the name of Jesus, we'll try to judge somebody else's life, and we just can't do that. As much of the word as you know is as much of the word as you know. Someone else might not have that yet. That's why you got to get up in the middle of the night so you can call on the Lord, and he can tell you things you don't know. So for me, you know, I was laying in bed, and I started having these dreams, and they were vivid dreams of things that I had been through and actual scenarios I had found myself in, places where I was hurt, places where I felt captured and very alone. And I was tossing and turning, and I was already married to Scott, you know. Remember, justification is your position. As soon as Jesus forgives you, he justifies you and sets you in that position. But your sanctification, the part where he draws you to himself and calls you apart, that takes your lifetime to walk through and to figure out. And it has different courses along the way, because as you grow, your audience changes. And as you heal, you have more to give in a different arena and stuff like that. So, you know, you're walking along in your sanctification process, and I was already married to Scott. I'm yielded to God. We're giving testimony everywhere that we go because we're bold. We're like that. And I'm laying in my bed a year or two in, and I can't get past my past. And I'm having these dreams. And so my husband, being the loving man of God that he is, he goes, "Babe, go be with the Lord." I can't sleep. And I was so mad. I was so offended. I'm like, "Wow, thanks. Thanks a lot, babe." But he was right. So I went downstairs. And I got a pillow and I started to cry into it. I didn't know what else to do. So sometimes you sing a worship song and it's just like the O's get ya. And when it's the worship song, just has a little just like rift of O's, and that's all it's saying, because that's all you can do. It's all you can muster is, "Oh, I don't know. I just need you, God." Oh, you know, anybody else feel me? Like, "Oh," and I got a pillow and I started screaming like that. "God, I don't know what to do with this. I am a blood-bought child of God. I got my armor on. I don't know how to get this junk out of my mind." And so here's what happened. I started just denouncing all those things. Now, this is a long time ago, 30-some years. And I didn't know how to take authority over demonic strongholds. I didn't know how to remove a soul tie. I didn't know how to get my heart aligned with God. But I knew to call on the name of Jesus, because I know that name. I know a guy who knows how to set me free. And so I sat there and I had my eyes closed. I cried every tear I could cry. And I'm like, "I'm yielded, God. You show me. Show me your glory. Show me the end of this thing." And I saw this vision, and it was like this hand just coming on the counter and cleaning up breadcrumbs and taking it away. And what the metaphor was is the hand of God, all the breadcrumbs were all of my problems that I thought were astronomical and that I could not get past. I don't know how to be a child and a daughter of God with this big stain. I don't know how to do it, God. And the hand of God takes it like a breadcrumb and wipes it off the counter and says, "Look at there. It's clean slate." And then I cried tears of gratitude and repentance, because I understood in that moment how I can trade something so completely broken for something that's completely holy, and that God would be on my side, and that he would restore me. Isn't that so good? You know when that happened? It was about 3 a.m. 35 years ago. And he's been doing it ever since. And this is why God will stir you, but your job and your part is to respond, and don't lay there like some lump and let the devil talk you into missing it. Because if you do that, God will, he'll come again, but not for a while, because he wants you to get good and thirsty. Good and thirsty that you'll drink, and that you'll drink deeply of his transformational love and power. You could stand up with me. I'm not going to keep you here all day. I just wanted to talk to you about how your life could change in the presence of the one who made you, if you wanted it to. He's calling for you all the time. Will you answer? You know, I'm talking to a room full of Christian men and women. Are you disciples? Do you come when he calls? Is there something so life-giving about you that you alter the state of a room when you go into it? Because I do. You carry the presence of God with you in every room that you go into. And no weapon formed can prosper when you're in this shadow of his wing. Nothing can get to you. It's like an eagle, a breasty full of feathers, so much down that an eagle can hide little chicks in those feathers way in there, and you can't even see them. They don't even get wet in a storm. And that eagle will take all the frost and all the snow and all the weather until it passes, and then let you out again. God is like this. He draws you in, and in the shadow of his wing, you can sing a song of joy, and you can trust him. Even when it hurts, even when it's broken, he's restoring, and he's reaching, and he's waking you up at 4 a.m. Father God, would you let this word settle in our spirit? Father, would you help us to hear you when you're calling and not dismiss it as some restless leg syndrome or some I ate too much and I have heartburn or whatever it is, God. Just let it be a wake-up call that you are calling us in the night watch to declare to the kingdom of darkness that the King of light has come and that we carry your spirit, God, and we are not afraid. Father, would you bring your healing and bring your direction for every soul, whatever path that is. You're so good, God. Thank you for the wake-up calls in the middle of the night. We love you, God. Show us things we don't know. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.